Morning. Thanks for coming out. It's great to have you here. Let me just get organised. What a privilege. What a privilege. Greetings and salutations. It's a privilege to be in the big house this morning, preaching to the big crowd. Sunday morning's always terrifying. I had a small heart murmur when Pastor said, "Would you do the Sunday morning?" I said, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "No." But I just wanted to thank everybody here at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church for the good years that I've had here. Pauline and I are satisfied customers. We really are. We had the kids in the school over there and they loved it. And yeah, it's a good outfit. We've really enjoyed being here and we're really looking forward to pioneering a brand new IB, a baby one of these, down in Geelong. And we just thank all of you for affording us this wonderful opportunity. Amen. So I want to preach a message today and called Gradually Then Suddenly. It's a bit of a principle of life, and I'm going to just paint a few pictures before we get into it so it'll make sense to you. Some of us may have heard of stories where the husband comes home from work one day, finds the house empty and the wife and the kids are gone, and there's a note on the table saying, "We're gone, don't come looking for us." And he's standing there reading the note and he's totally bewildered. He can't understand. He doesn't know why this has happened. I actually knew a man. He'd come back from an overseas trip. He was a preacher. And his wife picked him up from the airport, drove him home. And he hops out of the car, gets his suitcase out of the back of the car. And she's still sitting in the car and he says, "Aren't you getting out?" And she says, "No, I don't live here anymore. While you're overseas, I went and got a flat. I've moved out." And this guy couldn't believe that this had happened. The point I want to make is that when you neglect areas in your life for years and years and years, there will always come a suddenly aspect where what you've sown, you will bear fruit, you will reap in your life. There's an old farmer's saying, "The chickens have come home to roost." We've got chooks. And every night, we got a big backyard, and now the dog got run over. They're allowed to go free range in our backyard, so they're out, all out, cruising around. But every night when I go down to get their food, to make sure, they're all in their roost, and they've all come home every night. And I want to tell you that this is a principle of life, because you know what? The reality is that you can leave things in your life unchecked, and you can allow things just to fester and just grow. And I want to tell you, if you never deal with it, you are eventually going to face a crisis. And so I want to look at this text, this really obscure portion of Scripture, and glean some truth and some principles for our lives. Because we want to leave here helped, equipped, better off than when we came in the door. Can you say amen? And so let's read our text, Gradually Then Suddenly, Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. "Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, grey hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not." Firstly, let's look at the gradual dimension to life. Life is not whiz-bang. Perhaps you might be whiz-bang. You're out in the car park earlier. You had a big cloud of clippity-clop. And now you're in the church and you're really whiz-banging. Well, for the rest of us, we're not like that today. We're not whiz-banging. We're just sitting here and we're all dialed in to what's being said. We're listening to what's being preached and our minds are processing it, because life's not whiz-bang. Let me explain. Even for a human being to be born, it takes 9 months for a child to be born. A baby starts as a baby. Isn't that revelation right there? That's a powerful thought. And this baby, it grows the whole time in the mother's womb, and it grows and it grows. And it's just gradually. And then suddenly, there's a big noise in the house. Because life is gradual. And then it's sudden. This didn't happen overnight. This happened gradually. The earth, the planet, the heavens, the humans, all these things that we see and take for granted every day, they were all created gradually. If we turn to the book of Genesis, And you just feel like a Bible scholar looking for Genesis, don't you? You just look at me, neighbor. I'm just going to flick to Genesis. Some of you are still looking for Hosea. But but let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, I feel like a legend. It's the first book in the Bible. So we can tear into that one. We know where that one is. Genesis chapter 1, that's even easier. That's like the first page. Genesis chapter 1, no laughing, it's church. All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Here we see an aspect to the nature and the character of God. Here's the nature of his creation, is that there is a gradual dimension to it. God is not in a hurry. He didn't say, let everything be done today and I'll have the whole week off. That's how we know God's not an Aussie. If God was an Aussie, he would have made everything on Tuesday because he wouldn't have come on Monday. And then he would have just done everything on Tuesday and then he would have had the whole week off. But he didn't do that, did he? No. He worked 6 days and he gradually created the planet in which we live and then he rested on the seventh. If you're going to be able to process life and to understand life, life is gradual. Understanding this principle in life will be a great blessing to you. But if you choose to ignore this principle, it will be the cause of great heartache. Had a bit of welding this week. Been welding a bit of gel fumes again. The voice is a bit croaky. Excuse me. So in our text, we've got the people of God. They've turned from God, and this has been a gradual process. They're now what we would call backslidden. This didn't happen overnight. You know, when people leave church, you know how hard it is to convince them to come back? It's hard because they left a long time before they did physically. They start up the front row, and then they move. And then, you know, 6 months, a year goes, when they're on the back row, you have to make a hook. And then when you try and say, hey, brother, come back. No, it happened a long time in the heart. Life is gradual. It's not whiz bang. This is how life is. And so here's the people of God. These are God's people worshipping bits of wood. We've got to go a long way from worshipping the creator of God. Now you're kneeling down to a hunk of wood that you've chiseled out into some demonic looking thing. And here's God. Now they're into false religion. They're worshipping idols. They're far from God. And they don't even know how far they've gone. And our text in verse 9, it says, strangers have devoured his strength and he knoweth it not. Yea, grey hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. Here's Hosea, and he paints this picture. He gets this imagery of a person going grey. Now, I'm an expert on this topic. You just sit there and listen to this old silver fox. Generally, you don't wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and your whole head is grey. That's not what happens. What happens is it's gradual. This is what Hosea is banging on about in the book. It's gradual. One day you're brushing your locks, your black locks, or your dark locks, or whatever locks you got, and you're brushing it, and you get one grey hair that just sticks up. And you go, by golly, let me sort that right out now. And you just dig in, you pluck that bad boy out. But for many of us here today, we couldn't do that now, could we? We would be bald as badgers if we plucked out all our grey hair. Hey, Phil. There'd be nothing left. Pastor Kojak. And, if you were here on Wednesday, he served me up twice. And I thought, this guy's mad. In 72 hours, I'll have the microphone. And so this is how it happens as we go great gradually. Let's have that photo, Asher. Check out this rooster. Look at that rooster right there. That's actually me. Pastor Phil was like, who is this? Is this one of your kids? I'll tell you what. That wasn't that long ago. I remember going to the barber, and I hadn't really realized I was going gray. And I remember getting up from the seat, from the barber's chair, and there was just all this gray and black stuff. And I said, did you blokes have a blue healer in here before me? That was funny. You missed it, guys. You missed it. So you can turn that off, Brother Asher. And so here we see that Hosea uses the imagery of a man's head beginning to go gray. And he says in the text, he said, yet he knoweth it not. He doesn't notice the changes around him. And this is what we're like. We really don't know the changes that are going on around us. It's incredible. So look at Solomon. I'll just read it to you, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. This is a true story. Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Or in other words, because people have been doing something for so long, or something so wrong for so long, they've been sinning in an area of their lives and nothing's happened to them. God hasn't flown out of the sky and smacked them on the hand. They come to this conclusion, this false conclusion, that you know what, nothing's ever going to happen. I can just keep doing what I'm doing and nothing's going to happen to me. But that's not a correct view of life, is it? That's why I'm here today. Because I know that I'm going to have FaceTime with God one day. Real FaceTime. You're going to have FaceTime with your Creator. Whether you believe it or not, you are going to have FaceTime with God and you're going to give an account of your short life on planet Earth. Every single one of you, every single man, woman, and child that's ever walked on this planet will have FaceTime with God. Because for every action, there is a reaction. And here's God's people in our text. They've been involved in sin so long that they cannot hear or see that there is a judgment coming their way. There's a bowling ball that's been bowled down the lane and it's just about to roll into them. And this is what Hosea is preaching about. So I want to look secondly, which brings me to the second dimension of life, and that's the sudden dimension, gradually and then suddenly, which is not as sudden as we like to think. People like to think that life's random. Oh, remember that cute word the young people were using about 10 years? Oh, random. Oh, that's so random. What a stupid word. Anyway, and everything's random, you know. But you know what? That poor husband that had his wife leave, that preacher that had his wife leave, that wasn't random. It wasn't really as sudden as he would like to believe. But he's just reaping years and years and years of bad husbandry. And it feels all of a sudden. And his friends and family go, I can't believe it's happening. But that had been going on for years and years and years. And most people don't seek any help until the horse is bolted. What is wrong with us? Surrounded by good marriages, surrounded by good examples, and we don't get any help till it's too late. Life is very, very gradual before it's sudden. Luke 12, let's go there. Luke 12, that's an easy one. That's in the New Testament. Luke 12, let's read in verse 16. This is Jesus. Your Bibles might have red words. That means Jesus is talking, so we need to perk up and listen up today. He gives a parable. 12:16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll bestow all my goods and fruits, all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So here's an interesting character that Jesus talks about. He tells us this great story, this great parable about a man that did not understand that life is gradual. He didn't understand that, and he was deceived into believing and thinking that his good life would never end. That I've had it so good for so long that there is actually no accountability to my life. I'm just going to continue what I'm doing. I'm going to run in this lane. And then God says, you know what, thou fool, today's your last day on the planet. And suddenly his life was ended. And this is how life is. This, if you've come, you come today, we just tell the truth in here. We're not going to tickle your ears today. You can get that on the internet, but we just want to help you with life and tell you how life really is. It's February the 9th, 2025, and just a few days ago, there was some of you going, hey, Happy New Year! Happy New Year! 40 days and 40 nights ago, people here were going, Happy New Year! Happy New Year! And now we're in February. How did that happen? Well, gradually. Gradually, 40 days, 40 nights, and suddenly it dawns on us that the holidays are over and I probably better get back to work. Bamboo is like this. I'm told that bamboo grows underground for 7 years. Think about this. Under the ground, 7 years, can't see anything. And then in the eighth year, you've got scaffolding for a skyscraper in the backyard. That's a great picture of life. None of us are going to escape this principle. Let me paint some more pictures. Think about the smoker. We got any vapists in here this morning? Surely there's a serial vapist in here. So anyway, the smoker, the serial vapist, this is how it goes. This is how it goes. Let me paint the picture. So he has a smoke and he's young and he's fat arming it out the car and he's got his smoke and he's got the vape. Have you seen them at the lights when they've got their windows up with the vape? It's like they roll down the windows and all the smoke comes out, all the steam goes out. And you think, is this a new hybrid? Is this like electric steam? You know, I'm like, and they roll down the windows and all the vape, and people just love it. They're just right into it. I was reading what was in them. Good night. Yeah, paint stripper. And yeah, anyway, they got all this stuff. Smells nice. Looks cool. But anyway, so here's the vapist. Here's the cigarette smoker. And they're into it, man. They're hooked. Like a hog eating corn. They're just into it. And, you know, and they're good. They're 25. They're feeling fit. They're still going to the gym, doing a few exercises. Look at me. I feel good. Smoking. 35, yeah, mate, where? Loving it. 45, mate, committed. Hardcore. Then one day, bit of a pain in the old lung, must be that pizza I had. last night. Bit of a pain in the old lung, mate. But the pain's not going away. And they go to the doc. The doc says, mate, you got emphysema. You got probably got 6 months to live. And they're like, what the heck? I'm a good guy. Oh, see, God's not real. Listen, mate. Have you looked at the packets on the boxes? It's got people's feet missing. They've got toes hanging out. They've got a white box with these pictures with the lung hanging out with, you know, all kinds of parsons. It's like, yeah, I want one of those. Get it in here. And so even the sinners that don't know you put the picture on the box to say, hey, no, it's not good for you. No, not me, mate. Not me. And gradually, and then suddenly, you're crook as a dog. And that's how life is. And just because you have a smoke or you have your vape, you got your steam train happening in your car at the lights, it doesn't mean the chickens aren't going to come home to roost, because the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God doesn't leave us on the downer. He gives us the upper there. And he says, you know what? There is everlasting life. There is two paths you can choose. Who's heard of a Bible character called Samson? Yeah, he's a big hitter. He's like the original superhero. He was before Superman and Spider-Man and all those other men. He was Samson. And he was the man. And anyway, Samson is the original, he's strong as an ox, just a wrecking ball. Just smash people up with a jawbone of a donkey. He just tear through blokes like you've never seen. They make movies out of this guy. But he had a little problem. He did have a little problem. And I'm going to use a King James term for him, if that's okay. Because we're in the Kinsman Baptist Church in Geelong. We are King James only. Just throwing that out there. And so I'm going to use a King James term, and he was a whoremonger. I'm sorry, it's a bit rough, first thing in the morning. But he was a whoremonger. He had a problem with the ladies. He loved sex outside of marriage. That was his little secret. Judges 16, we could flick there. It's not a bad one to find. If you find Joshua, it's right next door. Judges 16. It's like reading the news when you read the Bible. Listen to this cat. Judges 16, this is Samson. Then Samson went to Gaza. If we were reading the Australian translation, he went to Gaza. But no, he went to Gaza. This is the same Gaza that is on the news regularly. Bible says, and he saw a harlot and went into her. So, okay, so he's definitely got some issues, this boy. Jump down to Judges 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Soreg, whose name was Delilah. So Samson is a ladies' man. He has an area of his life that he has given over to. He's very, very sexually active outside the marriage. He's not even married. Well, he was. He's just a ratbag. That's really this guy. Anyway, he meets this hoochie mama called Delilah. You know the song. Hey there, Delilah. You know the one? Okay. Anyway, she lives in Palestine, about 49 k's north of Gaza. And the Bible says that he's in love with her. I'm sure he is. That her local and her local Philistine friends begin to convince her to try and find out the secret of Samson's strength. Let's read verse 5, Judges 16, 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. This is big dough. It's a big cash cow right here for Delilah. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee. Can't believe people are religious, you know. I pray thee. Well, he's a judge of Israel. Good night. Anyway, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Let me, you would think he would have smelled a rat. Here's his girlfriend asking him, hey, you know, tell me what makes you weak so then when you're weak I can torment you. This is a true story. You need to read your Bible. It's crazy in here. Here's his girlfriend asking him, what will make you really, really weak so I can torment you? And so he makes up a few stories. Said, oh, if you tie my hair up in a beam. And so she does that, ties her hair up, gets the Philistine. He just snaps it out, smashes them all up, beats them all up. Then she makes up another story to it because she's just pestering him, harassing him like a dripping tap, just harassing him, picking on him. And he gives in again. He tells another story, if you do new ropes and this and that. And anyway, he busts out of that. He beats up all the Philistines. And she says, oh, you're just lying to me. You don't love me. And then one day, she just got the better of him. And you know the story. He finally tells her, look at verse 16. Judges 16:16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I would have left her before that. Seriously, this guy, man. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come at once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And then she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. What a tragic story. But doesn't that illustrate how life is gradual before it's sudden? This behavior of his had been going on. Well, he was a judge for 20 years. So he's probably been going on for a bit longer than that. And he judged Israel for 20 years. Samson was playing up like a second-hand lawnmower. He'd been playing around with sexual sin. And then, boom, in one night, he lost everything but his life. The Bible says that the Lord departed from him. His strength departed from him. And his eyes, the very area of his life that he would not bring under control, the Philistines put out his eyes. I don't know if they grabbed him, grabbed his skull and popped his eyes with their thumbs. They put out his eyes. It wouldn't have been, we'll just send you in for an operation and we'll have your eyeballs removed. No, it would have been pretty brutal. I don't know if they just stabbed them or whatever. But it wasn't a nice thing for old Samson here. And listen to me, life is always gradual before it's sudden. God gives you lots of warnings. Hello? God's given you lots of warnings. He gives you lots of warnings, lots of chances. He's a gracious God. Ecclesiastes 9:12, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Back to our text. The people of God cannot see that God is not even in their lives anymore. They cannot see they've lost their strength. They've mixed in with the world. They're just the same as the world. And the reality is that Hosea's preaching to them that they're going to be brought into an account. Now, our text, if we look at our text one more time, it says in verse 8, Hosea 7, 8, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. That's an interesting statement there. What happens when you don't rotate things in the oven? All right, well, let's bring it down. What happens if you don't turn your snag over on your barbie? Well, you burn it. You burn the bottom of the snag. And so in all honesty, in all reality, it's not until we get burnt on the bottom a few times and we face a few suddenlies that we begin to think about the decisions we're making today. It's good to get burnt. You've been burnt? I've been burnt. That's all right. It's all right if you learn from it, amen? It's all right if it brings you to God. It's all right. You got burnt. It's all right. I got burnt too. That's why I'm here. Got burnt. But I don't want to be burning for eternity in a place without God. And so how many smokers, bless them, you know, they have a health scare and they go, you know what, I'm going to learn from this, I'm going to stop. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel, is that you can make a decision today to change the course you're on. As you say, you know what, I smell a rat. There's something up with this world, man. Can you feel it? The world's gone mad. Do you know there's some things coming? There's some things coming, and you and I need to be ready for those things. So I want to look thirdly and finally, I want to practically apply this gradually and then suddenly principle to our lives. Maybe you're a new Christian here today. You've only been saved a short time and you're wondering how God changes you. Let me encourage you, it's gradual. But it is a deliberate action on your part to make the decision. So you know what, I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to pray a little bit today. And when the doors of the church are open, come. And I'll tell you, if you just stick it out in 6 months' time, you'll look back on your life and you'll go, man, I have changed. That's how you do it. It's gradual. It's gradual. Maybe you're here and you're wanting a better marriage. We all want a better marriage. I'm not picking on marriages today. I just know this is a real need in our society and in our generation. And you know what? It takes deliberate action on your behalf to begin to sow those good seeds into your marriage. Stop saying bad words. Stop being so cruel and so mean and start saying nice things, and gradually, you'll love one another again. It's a true story. Are you getting a feel for how the kingdom of God works? The kingdom of God is not in a rush with you. Stop putting unrealistic time frames on God, on your kids, on difficult situations. God functions in eternity. You live gradually for God and allow Him all the time He needs to work the things out in our lives. A few years ago, I came to the Good Shepherd Church, and you know what? I'll be really honest. I've been honest all morning, but I'll be even more honest. I was really beat up. Life had really beaten me up. I was really upset. I was very broken down. And I actually remember meeting Andrew and Pastor out the front, and I just said, hi, I'm Daniel, and I just had a bit of a tear in my eye because I couldn't even explain the circumstances or the events that brought me here. But I tell you something, I just kept coming. I came Sunday night. And then I found out they had a midweek. They had a small short message and some prayer. And I came to that. And I just kept coming. kept coming. And then my brother Danny said, would you help out in the young adults? So I started doing a message every second Sunday morning for the young adults. And I just kept at it. I just kept at it. And now we're going to start a new church in Geelong. Because that's how the kingdom works. It's gradual. It's gradual. And then suddenly, Kinsman Baptist Church Geelong. How did that happen? Well, when I was crying out on the front lawn and I was upset at my life, I just kept at it. We just kept at it. And that is how the kingdom works. And I want to encourage every one of you here today. You might be, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I could just say, just keep at it. Just pray, read your Bible, come to church, and you will get out of this. You will walk out of it, and God, it'll get better and better and better. I want to close with one last thought. 35 minutes, I'm doing good. I want to close with one last thought today. Pastor Phil said, Brent, make sure you got your stopwatch, Daniel. Yes. We're all going to face one last suddenly, and that'll either be the return of Jesus Christ or your own passing, where we get to have sausage rolls and club sandwiches. What is with the club sandwiches and the sausage rolls? Everyone I've ever been to is always a clubby. I look forward to the clubbies now. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You might get it at lunch. Someone will tell you the inside scoop. I say to my kids, all of life comes down to a sausage roll and a club sandwich. But you know what? There's one more suddenly coming for you. That's your own passing or the return of Jesus Christ. But that day is going to come suddenly. There's a God in heaven that wants to save us from what's coming. We all know life has an end. We all know life is temporal, but only few embrace it. Only few plan for it. But when we embrace this gradual dimension of life, we can achieve and receive so much from God. God wants to do a saving work in you today in preparation for tomorrow. Matthew 24, 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and he's going to snatch away all those that are living for him gradually. All those that have embraced that gradual uphill, narrow path, difficult path, all those that are just at it, faithfully at it, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. He's coming back for Christians that are gradually living for him. We don't have to be a people that fear the suddenlies of life if we've learned to live gradually for God. Can you say amen? That our choice to follow God and believe his words brings safety to our future. Whether we sleep or whether we're alive, gradual living readies us for the suddenly. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15:1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. It's an absolute banger of a scripture. Paul the apostle, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I assure you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. The Apostle Paul says this is going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. In an atomic second, people will vanish. There will be people traveling in aeroplanes, buses, trains, and Kenworths. Can you say amen? And they will vanish in a twinkling of an eye. There will be men and women at work in their bed, sleeping, people talking, working, and they will vanish and they will leave their friends and family behind, because that is called the rapture. That's going to happen in a split second. And why is it suddenly? Why? Because God wants you to live on the edge. If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. He doesn't want you to sit back muck around and play around with your salvation. He doesn't want you to be like Samson. He doesn't want you getting all comfy. We're just passing through. We're sojourners. Abraham, the father of our faith, lived in a big old tent. He got it. He's in heaven now. He's not worried about his tent. He just passed through. He lived for God. And we're down here again. But life's like this short, and eternity is forever. And eternity is forever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. Mate, we've got to get a bit of a perspective on how life really is. We need to be getting ready now for the big job that awaits us. Heaven's a reality. Hell's a reality. You either go, there'll be nobody in heaven that turns up there and goes, how do I get here? How do I get here? No, mate, you know how you got there. You got there by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repenting of your sin and saying, Christ, come into my heart. Oh, change me. Help me to live for you. That's how you get to heaven. Pretty simple. So God doesn't want us getting all comfy, lukewarm and unproductive. But God's design for this suddenly, your passing or the suddenly, is that you would have an edge to your life. If you remove that, you take away motivation for living pure. You take away motivation for evangelizing. You take away motivation for living right. Because if we knew when he was coming, we'd put things off. We would slack off. But God has the element of surprise. Live for God gradually, and he will return suddenly. And I tell you what, you'll be ready for it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hope that helped you. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just going to close up the service. Pastor's going to come up shortly. But there's people here today and you're not sure about eternity. You're not sure. You know something's up. You know that there is a heaven. You know there is a hell. You know you live with yourself. You know that God's real. There's things that have happened in your life that you know we didn't come from monkeys and it's a big bang and you know that's all rubbish. You know that God's real. And you're here, but you're not right with God. And you want to get right. You can be right with God today. You can, if you were to die today, you can make heaven your home. You can have eternal security today. And that's by asking Christ to forgive you of your old life, your sins, and asking him to come into your heart. Be your Lord and Savior. And I wonder if there's anybody here today. You're not right with God, but you're not saved. Maybe you're away from God, but you want to come back today. Why don't you just look at me? No one can see you, only me. Just look at me and say, hey, that's me. I want to get my heart. Because we're going to lead you through, show you some scriptures. We'll lead you through a prayer. You can make heaven your home. Anybody at all today, don't be shy. There's lots of people. Lots of people come to church and they're not sure. They're not sure. Sometimes they're not sure if they're going to heaven or hell. But you can be sure today. You can make heaven your home. Anybody at all, you want someone to talk to you about salvation. You want someone to come talk to you about eternity. Just look at me. Just put your head up. Make eye contact.